Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
A very good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next half hour we'll be taking a look at the sporting action on the Isle of Man and beyond this weekend, coming up later in tonight's programme. After another busy midweek, Isle of Man football clashes continue this weekend, including the later stages of the Hospital Cup and Junior Cup, whilst the promotion race continues in Ardern and Drugg Unlimited Division 2. Meanwhile, for the first time since winning silver at last summer's Ireland Games, the Isle of Man women's national football side will kickstart a busy summer tomorrow with a friendly on their travels at Preston North End. And this weekend as well, hundreds of local youngsters will take part in 17 different sports around Manx Shores for the 2026 Manx Youth Games. That is all to come this evening. But first of all, this evening, we do have to start with some tragic breaking news. We have learned this in the last hour or so, that a competitor has died following a medical incident during today's Manx National Rally. The news was confirmed in a statement issued by Motorsport UK this afternoon. Well, joining us live now is Motorsport commentator Chris Boyd. Chris, thank you very much for your time. Absolutely tragic events today at the Manx National Rally.
Yeah, good evening, Rob. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, very, very sad news to report. We were aware that there was an incident on the very opening stage of the event this morning. And then a statement has been released by John Aston, the clerk of the course for the Manx National Rally, just before 4:45 this afternoon, that reads, earlier today, there was a medical incident on the Starvey stage, which was the opening stage of the event. And sadly, as a result, Daryl Taylor, car 54, has passed away. His co-driver, Martin Brady, is physically unharmed. As a mark of respect to Daryl, we will not be rerunning the stage as SS5 later today. It was due to run early this evening as the next stage of the event. The family and Daryl's team are requesting privacy at this difficult time. They're very, very sad, and it's a little bit of a pall over the event that was, as we've been hearing across the week, a record 170 car entry on the event, bringing lots and lots of visitors to the island, and just the saddest possible start.
Indeed, and our well wishes and our deepest condolences and our sympathies go out to the family of the competitor at this time. And as has been made very clear as well, the family has requested privacy at this difficult time. So, Chris, of course, a secondary thing really to what has occurred today, but in terms of, I suppose, the event more generally, what happens from this point?
Well, that stage was due to run the Starvey stage as the next stage. The crews are literally lining up at Andreas Airfield in the Rally Village at the moment. They are due to book, the first cars are due to book out of there in 2 minutes' time to start this evening's leg. This evening's leg will go ahead without that Starvey stage. So there were due to be six stages tonight. There will now be five. The opening stage, instead of being the Starvey stage, will now be a run up over Slewellyan, Glenneedle, Roundtable and Ronnog. Then they will go to the jewel and the crown of the Friday night part of the event, which is the return of the Port Air and Town Centre stages. They are due down there just after 7 o'clock to do two runs of that stage. Then they will go to another stage out on the old Cattletown Road, running from the blackboards right the way through to just where you are at the back of you at Manx Radio, Rob, on Long Marine Drive. And then there's a final stage of the night out around the Braid and Leary. So all of those stages will still go ahead roughly at the time they were due to originally on the time schedule. So the event will continue. After this morning's stages, it's Irish driver Ryan Loughran, who leads the way with our local Kurt Michael co-driver, one of the top co-drivers in British rallying, Rob Fagg. From Kurt Michael, they lead the way by 17.4 seconds over Northern Ireland's Niall McGonigal and Colin McKenna. They were the winners of the Chris Kelly Memorial Rally last October, so they're running in second place in the nearest challenges to Loughran. Loughran has been fastest on three of the four stages this morning. McGonigal the fastest on the other. Another Irish crew in third place, so Cal McCarthy and Eric Canlam. They are about 12 seconds down on McGonigal in a Citroen. Then the first of the mainland UK crews, if you like, is a former leader of the event, David Wright and Jane Nicol in a Ford Fiesta. They're running in fourth place ahead of 2017 winner Hugh Hunter, who had Rob Fagg in with him then when he won, but has Andrew Marchbank co-driving for him tonight, today in a Ford Fiesta. They're in fifth. And then the five times winners of the event, Jason Pritchard and Phil Clark. They are in sixth in the Toyota Yaris. In terms of the local challenge, it's been very, very disappointing. As well as having that incident on stage one, there was a fairly big crash on stage two for Steve Orman-Smith and Adam Yates. The crew were perfectly okay. It was just a very high-speed incident, done a lot of damage to the Mitsubishi Evo, and they are out of the event. We then lost Martin Jones on the following stage down at Port Sodwick. We lost John Tia, who was our leading local after stage two. He's gone out on the next stage at stage three. So lots of the leading locals have unfortunately gone out. The leading locals at the moment, if I can just find that, are George Collister and Janet Crane. They are in 28th place in their BMW, and they are just 0.7 of a second ahead of Rory and Paul McCann in a Honda Civic, who hold 29th overall. And then it's 31 seconds back in terms of the local crews to Ben Hardy and David Radcliffe, who are 30 seconds. Also inside the top 40 are Max Murray and Matthew Owen, Andrew and Shannon Dudgeon, and Declan Jackson and Barry McCarney. But really, in terms of the tone of the event, all of the results and what's happening is secondary to what's happened this morning, which is just desperately sad.
Indeed. Chris Boyd, thank you very much for your time. So just a reminder of that breaking news this evening. A statement from Motorsport UK is as follows. Motorsport UK, Manx Autosport and the Manx National Rally organising team are deeply saddened to confirm that a competitor participating in the Manx National Rally today has passed away following a medical incident during the event. Motorsport UK and the organising team extend their sincere condolences to the family, friends and the wider rallying community at this difficult time. As a mark of respect, the stage on which the incident occurred will not be run again during the event. The remainder of the rally will continue as scheduled. The family has requested privacy at this difficult time, and no further information will be released at present. Moving on then, and taking a look towards the football action that we are due to see this weekend. It's already been a busy midweek schedule. Joining us in the studio this evening, as always, is our football correspondent, Tony Meppen. Tony, turning to, before we get to this weekend, just a very quick mention for what's happened in midweek, because we saw the final of the Men's League Champions crowned this week. Paul Rose United winning their first combination title in 26 years, winning the gripping Combination 2 title race from a club, Tony, that only a few years ago were struggling to get a team out in any form and now have two teams there, one of which are league champions as well. Great progress for the team.
Absolutely. And, well done to everybody on Wednesday evening. It was unbelievable because I don't think I've seen 200 people watching a combination game in Manx football for a long, long time. And incredible scenes at the end. And the presentation was made with the trophy and the players, I think, will have possibly had a few sore heads on Thursday when they sort of got up from going back drinking to going then going back to work. But, as you say, when you look at people who have been so heavily involved, and I'll pick out two, Paul Henry and Mo Powsley, an incredible job that they've done. And, we wish them well for the future. And let's just hope that the two teams keep going and they progress.
Indeed, and of course, yesterday Corinthians booked their place in this season's Women's FA Cup final with a 3-1 win over their rivals Peel as well. We are still yet to get confirmation on their opponent. That's because Malou versus Douglas Royal, that game has been postponed until the 17th of May. So that game's still to come. Looking to this Saturday then, we have a mix of Cup and League matches. We'll take a quick look at the Cup matches to start with, Tony. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup. We still have a quarter-final tie to be played to start there. Corinthians versus Ayr United.
Yeah, unfortunately with the Island game last week, we had to postpone this one because Ayr and Corinthians had players playing for the National Island team. But certainly on this one, up at Bala Fletcher, it's all to play for because Ayr United over the last two or three years have been really standout team, haven't they? But Corinthians at the moment have done really well this season, and Ben Qualtro has got a glut of good quality players there. Ayr United, I've tried to find out what the team was, but no one was coming forth with it. But I would expect people like Jamie Callister, Sean Kelly and the likes to play. But at the moment with Sean Doyle and Dan Simpson and others there, Conor Clark, you'd expect Corinthians to win it.
And the other game is in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals, the first of the semi-finals. Down at Croyte Lowy, Rushen United will host Onchan.
Yeah, and I think certainly looking at this one, Onchan, I'd love to see them there, but I'd like to see Rushen there as well because two teams that have really come good at the end of the season. And, you know, when you look at Onchan with the Railway Cup, where they are in the league and everything, they've done really well. But, Rushen have been the surprise package of late, and they've still got the Junior Cup semi-finals as well. They've got the Hospital Cup semi-final in this one. And it's going to be on the day. It's a great facility to play a great game of football. And I just wonder if the forward line of Onken can expose the Russian United defence. And that's the way I'm going to sway at the moment. I'm going to go for Onken, take the victory away from Russian.
So those two Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup games, one in the quarterfinals, one in the semi-finals, getting underway at the earlier time tomorrow of 2 o'clock. Elsewhere, a selection of league games starting at 2.30. A doubleheader in the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Tony. The champions Peel up against Laxey, and Foxdale, although they have been officially relegated, putting in some real fight over the last few weeks, up against St Mary's.
Yeah, they've been tremendous, Foxdale, at the end, and it bodes them well for next year. I know they're going to be in Division 2, but they'll be looking to gain promotion and come back up. They don't want to leave it as long as they did last time. But St Mary's, disappointment on Tuesday. They couldn't get the team together because there was a lot of players not available and they had to forego the points in that game. But Peel against Laxey, what an occasion it's going to be for Peel. They've won the championship twice on the bounce now, and they'll be presented with that by Canada Life tomorrow. And against Laxey, I think Laxey have been in good form over the last couple of games. Johnny Palmer's team's looked pretty strong, and if he's got those players available, then they'll make it difficult. Does he want to spoil a party? Don't know. Johnny's loves to win, and I think they'll be going for a win, but I think Peel will have enough.
So two games in the Canada Life Men's Premier League tomorrow. In Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2, of course, Colby recently crowned champions, won't be heading up to the top flight next season, but still four teams mathematically in the hunt for that final Division 2 promotion place, and all four are in action tomorrow. So elsewhere outside of that battle, St George's will be taking on Maloo, but also Pulrose United in the mix for promotion. They face the newly crowned champions Colby, and two of the other teams, they actually face each other, Moran versus Castletown. That could be a big one. And also Ramsey Centre and Old Boys right in the mix. They're going to be hosting Douglas Royal. So some big games in Division 2 tomorrow.
Well, there is, and I just wonder how those 6 points that Moran dropped with midweek games is going to cost them towards this run at the end, because they had a good win midweek against Ramsey Youth Centre, and a lot of that was down to combination players coming in doing really well. But you know, Castletown, you'd have them as slight favourites. Good Cal Cup result last night, a good victory, so I'm going to go for Castletown just to win that one. But the one, Pulrose against Colby, you know, Colby getting presented with the Division 2 trophy tomorrow afternoon, so they won't want to finish off on a defeat neither. And watching Pulrose of late, they're a good side. They'll try and make it difficult, but I think Colby certainly want to get those 3 points. They've won the league anyway, and then pick up the trophy after the game.
And the fact, of course, as well, in Division 2, the teams are playing each other 3 times this season with the change that's been going on, with several games to go. It is still all to play for between those four sides in terms of that final promotion place, because some teams have games in hand on the other.
Yeah, it is. And when you look at them, they play 27, and few people have said, well, you know, it's been a waste of time, you know, playing each other 3 times. Well, we would have played 24 anyway if all the teams had first teams. So they're only 3 games over the top. But, you know, when you look at Moran, Rob, they've still got 6 to play, including this one. Well, if you imagine it, you know, trying to get through, we've only got 2 weeks to go. We've got to be finished for the 24th. So, you know, we're not going to get the Paul Henry played, that's for sure. But I think certainly the other games, it's all to play for.
And 2 games across the combination leagues tomorrow in the league. So Canada Life Combination 1, Union Mills to host St John's United. In Ardern and Drugan Limited Combination 2, Maloo, well, they'll be hosting Douglas Athletic, who've just missed out to Pulrose United on the title this year, but certainly played their part.
Yeah, the Combination 1 game, Rob, we've just lost. Union Mills can't field a team, so St John's have been informed, so that one's gone off the fixture list. And Maloo against Douglas Athletic, how it could have been so different, because if Pulrose had lost the combination side on Wednesday, then Douglas Athletic would have had to win or get the points off Maloo to take that title. Well, that's not going to happen now, but, you know, Maloo against Athletic, when you look at the amount of goals that they scored, you've got to go with Athletic.
So those are your games on Saturday. A quick look towards Sunday. We've got the semi-finals of the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup on Sunday, kicking off at 2 p.m, both of those games. Ramsey up against last year's finalist, Russian United, and Onken hosting Braddon.
Yeah, well, Russian spoiled the party midweek, didn't they, when Russian beat Ramsey in the league. So there's a little pointer for you. But I think Ramsey will have a few players back in to make them a lot stronger. And I still feel that Ramsey are the favourites, and I'd go with them to win.
And, of course, in the Masters football as well, a reminder, 3 fixtures all kicking off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. They are Douglas High School All Boys versus St Mary's, Union Mills versus Douglaston District, and Corinthians versus Colby. Tony, thank you very much for the moment. We'll come back to you in a moment. But elsewhere in football this weekend, the Isle of Man Women's National Team returned to action for the first time since last summer's International Ireland Games in Orkney. Well, last July in Orkney, the squad claimed the silver medal at the Games after the agony of a penalty shootout defeat to Bermuda in the final. Looking ahead, they head on their travels tomorrow to face Preston North End in a friendly, which will kick kickstart a busy summer campaign for the Ireland side. This weekend will form part of preparations for the team's trip to the Cherry Godfrey Cup in Guernsey next month, a competition which the Isle of Man will go into as defending champions. Well, Isle of Man women's team manager Wayne Leesey has been speaking with us ahead of their trip this weekend about their ambitions going forward.
Well, we've been training actually all winter, so we'll be doing a couple of sessions a month all winter. The squad has actually increased now. The quality coming through from the youngsters to players coming back into the game and getting themselves into the training squad has been really good. So preparation of the last few weeks has been good, training's been good, everyone's up for it and so excited for this summer to be able to organise matches on Ireland, off Ireland, and obviously have the Cherry Recovery Cup in June, which we go to defend. It's really exciting.
A big squad that you've got to choose from. Is it a nice dilemma to have that you've got players that, not just the amount of players, but the quality of players available to fight for their places?
Yeah, since I took the role 4 years ago, the training squad has just increased in numbers. And that's not just anyone coming into the squad. The quality is there that to play, in my opinion, at Ireland level. So the training squad's now over 30 players, with some of those players being in university, some on Ireland. You've got the youngsters coming through. So when it's come to... It just gets harder and harder every year when I have to pick a squad. So I've picked a squad of 16 players for the Cherry Godfrey, and I'll use these two matches this weekend and next weekend as preparation matches for the Cup.
And this weekend coming up against Preston North End as well, of course, club with a lot of history. So how exciting an experience will that be for these players up against different opposition as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's a massive club, Preston North End, as we all know. And they play at Tier 6 in the English Women's Pyramid. So this will be a real tough test for us this weekend. And they got promotion for their league this year, so they should be moving up to Tier 5. Really excited. Looking forward to a really tough game.
And that as well, along with welcoming FC United of Manchester later as well. Plans for a triangular tournament in July. The fact that you're getting all this preparation ahead of something like the Cherry Godfrey Cup, a competitive summer, just how valuable is that for you as a manager as well as the players?
Oh, it's massive, Rob. Without these games, you're going into a cup kind of blind. So these games gives us an opportunity to work on formations, using the players in different positions, and it really gives the players a build-up and the excitement towards the cup, yeah.
And of course, a lot has to happen behind the scenes to make these things happen. There's a lot of logistics, a lot of conversations, a lot of phone calls as well. So what do you think it says to the likes of yourself and everyone else involved to get these friendlies on? Because it doesn't just happen by magic. It isn't always easy at times.
No, it's pretty tough, to be fair. Obviously, when we want friendlies, doesn't necessarily marry in with when teams want friendlies. So we can't have friendlies over the winter because it's normally in their season. So a big shout goes out to Sean Gritton, our chair, who organises these friendlies. He works tirelessly behind the scenes to get these over the line. So to get friendlies like Preston North End, which is a massive club, FC United of Manchester, which, as we know, is a relatively new club, but it's huge in Manchester, to get them onto the island for a friendly next week, it's fantastic.
What are the main things that you're hoping for from this weekend's trip? And what are you hoping more generally and slightly more long-term in terms of the preparations leading up to the Cherry Godfrey Cup in Guernsey?
From this weekend's trip to Preston, I'm looking to basically copy the standard we had in that final against Bermuda. The intensity, the quality that we had on that pitch that day was fantastic. And there's no reason why we can't go to Preston this weekend and get a good result. It'll be a tough match. Like I said, they're in Tier 6/5 of the pyramids. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
And finally, on you yourself as manager, it's obviously a few years now that you've had this role as well. What has this role taught you as a manager as well, and what you like to implement, and also how you can evolve on what you do?
I came into the role 4 years ago, knowing the kind of quality that it was about at the time, knowing the kind of football I wanted to play because of that quality. What I've done, we touched on it before about how hard is it to pick a squad. I've been very clear with the squad, the training squad, in terms of when a tournament's finished, i.e. when the Ireland game's finished, the squad gets reset, competition for places restarts, and everyone's competing. And I think that's helped to push everyone forward to improve. I think I'm quite clear in terms of how I want the team to play, and the players know that. I think also how aggressive our team can be at times, which is what football's all about. As well as the nice football we can play, we need to make sure that we're competing, especially when we don't have the ball. So those are the kind of things I'll be focused on, especially this weekend and next, and we carry that to the Cherry Godfrey.
That's the Isle of Man Women's National Football Team manager Wayne Leesey ahead of his team's trip to face Preston North End tomorrow in a friendly heading into a busy summer, which will include the Cherry Godfrey Cup. Very quickly, bring back in Tony Meppam on this. And Tony, for the Isle of Man Women's team, of course, some new oppositions come up against over the next couple of weeks. FC United of Manchester to come to the Isle of Man in just over a week's time as well. exciting opportunities, and particularly this weekend against a historic club like Preston North End.
Definitely, and that's what you want. I think Wayne and the team want better quality to play, because when you look at some of the friendlies that they've played over the last couple of years, they've been big wins. Well, you don't really want that. I know we don't know the opposition when they come over, and you just hope that they're going to give them a really good game. But the Island Games is still the pinnacle. You know, the players there love that trip, and they battle hard, and they're always one of the teams that are there or thereabouts for a medal. But certainly, you know, away from the Island Games, we need to find something else, and that's what's happened here. And you know, it's great to see these teams come to the Isle of Man as well, because it gives the opportunity for the supporters and parents and whoever to watch the girls play at the bowl, and that's what we're after.
And of course, the Cherry Godfrey Cup late in June as well. They'll be taking on Guernsey, Jersey and the Isle of Wight. Isle of Man going in as defending champions. Not necessarily depending on these two friendly fixtures, but you know, do you think if they were to pick up positive results in these non-competitive games, it'll give them confidence going into trying to defend their title?
I don't think they lack confidence, that's for sure, Rob, those girls, because I've seen them, and I went away to the last Cherry Godfrey, and it was great performances across the board watching them. But it's like everyone else, new players have come in. I've tried to work out how many have back in on total who weren't there last time. But, you know, it's great to see the girls play as a team. And what it is that the older players actually look up to the younger ones, because they come in and they've got sort of flair, and they don't mess about. They just get stuck in. They look to score goals. And there's some great young players coming through.
And just very quickly, obviously we saw the men's team win a resounding win over Hellwood Apollo in their friendly on Island last weekend. The Isle of Man women will be back at the bowl next weekend as well. So how nice from your perspective would it be to maybe see both claiming wins on home soil in the space of a couple of weeks?
Well, definitely, that's what you want. But, you know, last week the opposition really didn't test the squad. I don't think Chris Bass probably got out of it what he wanted. But again, it's one of those that you line up these friendlies with these teams and you just hope that they're going to challenge you.
Excellent, Tony. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Finally tonight, this weekend sees the return of an event which gets hundreds of Ireland youngsters involved in different sports. The 2026 Manx Youth Games are set to take place tomorrow, which will see children aged between school years 2 and 10 take part in any of 17 different activities throughout the day. As has been the case since the event was first started, the focus is to give youngsters a chance to participate in a friendly and social environment rather than focusing on being competitive. Gareth Lloyd is Sports Development Officer at Manx Sport and Recreation.
The Manx Youth Games is just basically to give children an opportunity to try sports across the island. This year we managed to have 16 different sports children can choose from. Obviously, it'll depend upon their age. We try and target from years 2 to year 10 or 11, depending upon the sport. We give the sports the autonomy to pick what age group they try and pick or try and focus on for that year, and it can change over the years depending upon how their sport in general is doing outside of our event. And it's just basically an opportunity for children to try different sports, what they may not know are out there or may not know how to get involved into them, basically. The new additions of netball have returned to the Manx Youth Games, which we're delighted to have back in. And then alternate sport of target shooting, we've managed to get involved with the Manx Youth Games this year, obviously with the safety aspects around it. They've targeted children of the older age group, so it's a kind of area where we're trying to encourage older children to be involved.
One of the big things about the Manx Youth Games is not necessarily the competitive aspect of it, but getting people involved in being social and being active. The fact that you can offer a variety of different things for people to have a go in, have an interest in, how important is that?
Oh, it's massively important. The all aspects of activity, what they can bring physically and mentally to young people nowadays, and making new friends, meeting people from different parts of the island. Because again, we try and put sessions across the whole island if we're able to, if the sport's able to. And then on our main event, which is on Saturday, they come and join up, all the different regions come and focus on their sport and join together and have friendly competition. And then hopefully after the games, what they continue with the sports, what they try, and that's a mainstay in their social calendars going forward, really, to keep them active and keep them doing something. That's our overall aim of the games.
And of course, the day itself, I'm sure we're all hoping for decent weather, as we've had on the island the last couple of weeks as well. But especially when the sun's out, you've got hundreds of people involved. Big opening ceremony at the NSC, and then there are events at the NSC and then at other venues as well. as an occasion to put together. How nice is it to see it all to come together on one particular day after all the work that's been in the previous months?
Yeah, the morning's a celebration of the hard work the volunteers and the children have put in the weeks in the build-up to our main event. The consistent turning up when the weather's not been too good in January and February time. Down here at the NSC, I've seen hockey or girls football over an evening and the wind's just tearing straight across. But the kids are still out there. The coaches, who we rely on massively, who we can't be more thankful for, are still turning up and still going. And the morning's just a little bit of celebration for the parents and ourselves and everyone else to give them a little bit of an appreciation. The children will always be the star of the show, as I say many a times, but we can't do it without our wonderful coaches and volunteers who are there and present on a weekly basis.
On a more general note, I mean, what's demand like to take part in the Manx Youth Games this year? How many have signed up to be involved, and how does that compare maybe to recent years?
Obviously, with more variety of sports we've put out there, we've had a little bit of a bump in sign-ups, but again, some children do sign up, and they can sign up across multiple sports. So some children have been doing more than one sport in the build-up to the games, but then we ask them to focus in on one sport for the actual games. So our sign-ups have been, I think they touched on 1800, which is great to see. It's quite consistent what we have that, obviously, because we have children who go across multiple different sports. The actual attendance on the day, we can have from 1100 over the past, consistently we've had 1100 over the past couple of years. So hopefully we'll see something like that again. If it's a little bit higher, it's brilliant. Again, having the attendance and having the everything what happens on the day is a massive celebration of all the hard work being put in before. But my main focus is to make sure the children remain within some kind of sport long after the Manx Youth Games.
Sports Development Officer Gareth Lloyd there, head of the Manx Youth Games, getting underway tomorrow. So the game's starting tomorrow with an opening ceremony at the NSC in Douglas. That gets underway at 10 a.m. And for full details for anyone needing them on meeting times, parking, travel and so on, you can find more information on the Manx Youth Games website. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Many thanks to our guests this week. As always, this show will be available as a podcast later this evening. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.